Okay. Hello, everybody. Looking for the monitor and getting the go-ahead from AGP. Looks like we're live. And, pardon me? Yep. Okay, good. Thank you. All right, welcome, everyone. Today is Wednesday, April 13, 2016. We're at the Morro Bay Veterans Hall at 4 p.m. It's located at 209 Surf Street, Morro Bay, for the record. This is a special joint meeting. We do have a quorum. We have four of five members present. Councilmember Makowetzki is absent for this meeting. And then I'll turn to our TBID board to establish your quorum, if you would. Mr. Graves?
With Chairperson Michelle Walk is absent. I'm the vice chairperson. I'll be stepping in for her. And by the way, she sends her best regards to all
Thanks.
Of us for this
Thank
meeting.
You.
We have a quorum on our end. Myself, Aaron Graves, Charlie Yates, Taylor Newton, and Jane Beanman.
Thank you. Great. Thanks. And with that, we'll call the meeting to order. And excited to be here. So we do have this is a joint meeting of City Council and Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board to discuss the fiscal year 2016-17 work plans based on council adopted goals and priorities. We'll turn it over to our City Manager, Dave Buckingham, to give us an overview. Sam Taylor will have some comments, and then we'll all be able to exchange thoughts, ideas, and get it underway. So excited about that. Thanks. Welcome, and appreciate all your work. Mr. Buckingham.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Like this sort of more intimate setup, last night we were giant gulf between everybody, so it's good to be close. Sorry, maybe next year we'll actually have some audio visual so everybody can see the screen or the slides, but it's not that important. I'll just look up there. So the purpose of this meeting is for the council and the advisory boards and to discuss the draft advisory board work plans that you developed along with your staff representatives. And the next step will be following this meeting. The staff will compile the comments made on the draft and will present them to the council on April 26 to be approved as the sort of the formal work plan for the advisory board. So what are we doing here? It's a new process that is part of the city's fairly recently adopted strategic planning framework. With the advent of a planning process and an annual goal and objective setting, it's appropriate that the advisory board work plans be synchronized with council goals and objectives and the fiscal year budget objectives, so we're all sort of working on the we have a synchronization of effort and we're all working on the same things. As a reminder for all of us, because we sometimes tend to start thinking about what's happening right now, we're talking about the FY16-17 work plan, so there's things you're doing right now, things we're doing right now in the area of if TBID things, that's not on, that those things shouldn't be on the work plan because those were part of the current year's work plan. We're looking at next year's work plan. So here's a little flow chart of sort of how this works. In the January-February timeframe, the council adopted goals and objectives. We'll get even better at this next year, but one of the inputs to those goals and objectives is from the advisory boards to the council. As the council, so late this year on your work plan should be, late this calendar year on your work plan should be to consider goals and objectives for next year's goals and objectives for the council. And then in February, March, staff with the advisory board develops a draft work plan. Then in March, these work plans are worked with the council for review. We're actually a little bit in April right now. And then in April, council considers and formalizes that work plan. So there's agreed on work plan. And then we get to work on it. In on the 1st of July. There's a process there you'll see on the right for new items. So if there are items that are identified through the year, certainly things are going to come up. There's a process to get those added to the work plan, either through your staff representatives, Brent and Sam, or directly to the council in the form of a letter or something. So there's nothing that prevents a board from nominating things to get added during the year. But one reason the process is there is so we all have a synchronization of effort. There's a limited number of resources, staff time, money, and those things. We want to all be working on the things that are most important for the city. So with that, that concludes my very brief city manager intro. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Taylor for a very brief staff overview, and then we'll get to the interchange that we've all been waiting for.
Thank you. So really quick, this is the TBID work plan is a little bit more unique, I'd say, than the other advisory bodies in that the City Council's objectives for this next year don't really actually include much specific to tourism. The one objective is transition tourism. That's a kind of a current, it's going to happen by the time the fiscal year begins. So there's not much to go off of. So what we did was that the TBID Advisory Board set up a series of goals with their staff, Tourism Bureau Executive Director Brent Haugen, for the fiscal year. Those goals, you saw them in the draft marketing plan. And so that is how we developed their work plan, was based on those goals. And hopefully you agree with those goals, and that's what we can work off of. What we hope to do next year is, and you'll see this in Brent's review, is make sure that we start earlier in the year to discuss potential objectives to add, probably to the economic development element of your goals, and that'll allow the TBID to have a great, robust discussion to recommend to you things that could be added to the objectives next year. Then next year, the objectives will inform the work plan. So this year, it's a little bit unique in that regard. We went off the goals that the TBID has recommended to you, specific to tourism. So with that, I'm going to actually turn it over to Brent so he can kind of go through the single slide I put together.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everybody. What we're looking at here is that we're looking at a very similar process as what we have actually done in the past. We have moved some things up slightly when it comes to how the annual goals budget and overall marketing PR and sales plan are put together. So when we're taking a look at this, we definitely wanted to have some benchmarks for both the TBID Advisory Board as well as for city staff and City Council to be able to review. So as you can see here, that the TBID work plan is designed to receive input related to annual goals, budget, and overall marketing PR and sales plan. There are some months that are actually associated with this first point, along with some of the other ones as well. Sam had put up here, it is important for the TBID to be able to review strategic goals, and in conjunction with that, it really is related to budgetary items, seeing actually where revenues are coming in throughout the year. So that way, if there's any adjustments that have to be done with both the budget and the plan, we can actually do that ahead of time instead of being reactionary and be more proactive. In the last number of years, we've actually seen an increase in the revenue that has come in when we've done a mid-year budget review. So we've been able to adjust the plan and do additional spending in conjunction with both marketing and PR. The TBID is strong in reviewing the annual expenditures, which is going to continue to happen, similar to what it has been before. There's a detailed review of the proposed tourism promotions budget, and that is crucial. What we are seeing, too, with the marketing and PR company that will be working in this next fiscal year, it's important to also kind of have those different touch points to make sure that we're reaching different goals and objectives. And that leads to the next point here. But just generally overall, we do have where goal one is with the annual goals, goal two is with the annual budget, goal three with the annual marketing, public relations, and sales plan. All of these really kind of align together. The one that would be new for Morro Bay, and this is actually going to it's going to exist with the partnerships that we have with Visit California, as well as the Central Coast Tourism Council and Visit San Luis Obispo County. And it's going to relate and it's going to bring down to the community here in Morro Bay in creating a China readiness program. So there is some detailed information about how we can get through like the first fiscal year with designing a plan, getting a committee together, but actually having a number of different entities here in the city of Morro Bay to be able to have a China readiness program that is going to relate not just to the TBID, but also to the business community here.
Great. And with that, we'll get into a little exchange and conversation. And Mr. Heading, if you'd like to lead off and welcome everyone as the liaison.
So I want to welcome you all here today. Thanks for coming out. You've had kind of a year of transition and a lot of change, and I appreciate a number of you stepping up and some stepping back into a leadership role on the board. I very much appreciate that. And then I want to thank Mr. Haugen, who has done a spectacular job over the last few years. We're going to miss you greatly. And I just wanted to say to you, thank you for the great work, the friendship, and the collaboration that you brought to this community and to this board and to your position. And I wish you the best in your endeavors. We will miss you greatly. However, expect to hear from you from sunny Minnesota. And
oh,
so,
I'm not going back to this.
Oh well, I was hoping to hear that.
I'd rather shovel sunshine than shovel snow.
Yeah. Good. So, and I totally understand the rationale.
Slogan.
Yeah, exactly. I understand the rationale for the interim format that you're using here for the goals. A couple of questions that I had. One, your marketing group is changing this year, and tomorrow is your stakeholder meeting, which will be exciting to attend. And I did have an opportunity to review the new marketing plan. And so I'm trying to wrap myself around what the board considers to be the most important things that you're looking for in terms of what brings success from a new marketing planning team. What are the indicators of success? Are there metrics that will be established? Are there things that you're looking for besides increase in TOT, you know, and possibly ADR over time? But other than that, what indicators of success are you looking for as a board, just out of curiosity, from your new group?
Firstly, you mentioned the primary metrics. Of course, if our TOT goes up, if our ADR goes up, that's outstanding, and that is the purpose of this. But additionally, there's all the sub-metrics we want to look at. Off the cuff, I would say that conversion ratios in the advertising is tremendous. If we can just bump things up a few basis points, even at times. And for those out there in TV land, the conversion ratios, when somebody sees an advertisement, do they actually click on it? Does it take them down a path that talks about Morro Bay and our restaurants and our lodging industry and things to do, or do they just pass right by it? And that is the $64,000 question. So from my perspective, I'll be looking for that conversion across all the mediums. Any other input from anybody else?
I just have to agree. I know that, you know, in the hotel world, you know, it's not just ADR and it's not just occupancy, but it's revenue per available room. And for me, as an hotelier, I want everyone's RevPAR to go up. And that means higher occupancy and higher rates. So the metrics, the hardest part is to actually get, and we know this, trying to get some return on our investment and find it other than in TOT or ADR. It's really a hard thing. So using the metrics online and using the data that we're going to get to show those conversions, and that's, for me also, is in the hotel world, it's all about conversion. If they're looking and they're leaving, then they're not converting. It's how many, and we even track our phone conversions. So I'm going to say that understanding those metrics in and being able to actually see them is most important. So.
Great.
Your question is what brings success from our new marketing and PR firm, because the new one, even though we employed them, we worked with them before, the new one does both marketing and PR. My opinion on this new firm, what I really liked was that, you know, we're marketing certain regions. We have a tiered plan for that, and I love about this, the this firm is that their connection to Los Angeles is very strong, And I've felt not only with the Tourism Bureau, but also in my own businesses, that the Southern California market is the main market that we've been influencing currently. We have other markets where, you know, in California and elsewhere, but this firm in particular has connections to Los Angeles that I think that we're seeing validated. And I like that. I think that I want to dominate that market and then, you know, focus elsewhere also in the future. I also like about this firm is that their style of marketing, I think, is good for Morro Bay. I think it brings out our what is Morro Bay, why come to Morro Bay. I think this firm understands that, and I think that especially their pitch during the review was spot on. And I think they're from Morro Bay as well. They're residents in some way, so they understand it well. Those were the strengths for me. That's all I have to say on that.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for having us here, by the way. I agree with Charlie. Revenue per available room equates to occupancy, and one of the concerns that I've always had is that we really don't have a vehicle to measure the conversion success on the website directly to the hotels. We used to have it. We don't have it now, where we would get all the clicks and then where the clicks went through which hotels. I think that's really important information. So the analytics on the website, we have to have the vehicles in place in order to get the right statistics. So that has to be done. Frankly, TOT and ADR has to go up because we have to charge more because of the increased cost of doing business in Morro Bay. So to me, to see an increase of 10% on TOT means that I have had to increase my rooms for ADR, yet my occupancy isn't going in line with that. I think seeing a 1% occupancy doesn't make it, you know, growth doesn't make it for me. I think that we really need to establish goals in the beginning. In other words, if we're saying, hey, just like any employee, if you bring in this much revenue, you will get a bonus based on this. I would say in my business, if you can increase my occupancy by X amount, you will get a bonus of this. So I know that occupancy means I have to hire more people to do my housekeeping, but I'd rather keep them busy because that's economic development. The people that work in this town and make money will spend money here. The people that stay in my hotel will go to the restaurants and will do retail. They won't do that when they're making their own meals at the RV parks or at VRBOs. So your hotels drive your street business. And I think we need to look at that occupancy very heavily.
My last question before I pass it over to my colleagues is this. We've been associated with a county-wide marketing entity now for most, since July. And I'm wondering if you have any feedback on that collaboration and or direction and or any input in general about the relationship to date. Granted, it's early, and successes are going to probably take some time, but I'm just curious to see what your feedback might be at this time.
Phenomenal question, John. I myself actually was just recently appointed as the newest board member to the Tourism Marketing District, San Luis Obispo County, and it's a great organization for the sense that I think that it has the potential for synergy and bringing the area together. We actually did, they're in the process of economic development as well, and so I did a 90-minute phone conference with a company they're working with to try to establish their goals, their long-term agendas, and constantly the idea of reducing overlap in marketing was truly the theme. We're in Morro Bay promoting a certain brand and a lifestyle. And the beautiful thing about our county here is that we do have these towns, and they can really work together in the sense that it's not redundant branding over and over again. Morro Bay has a very unique identity, which we all know and love, and it can contrast very well with San Luis Obispo, with wine tasting in Paso Robles, with a different beach lifestyle even down in Pismo Beach. And the role that I think is very important for Visit San Luis County is to help organize those efforts and direct the guests to the destination that works the best for them and to stop the redundancy in advertising and the theme amongst the different DMOs. In a perfect world, I would love to see destination marketing organizations as DMOs. Each of the towns around here do have a DMO. And I would love if they could start working with Visit San Luis County as a hub to compare and contrast ideas and figure out what campaigns make the most sense. I think we could lessen our expenses and increase our income if we did so. I'll pass the mic down.
Well, I have to comment that the change, the evolution of Visit San Luis Obispo County, the former Visitors and Conference Bureau and Film Commission, was a major task which took many, many years for a lot of people, including myself. I was one of the chairpersons that worked with Noreen Martin to hire the current executive director, who's an amazing man as well. He is a collaborator. And I have to say that duplication of effort is what we have to avoid. And working together to collaborate the county as a destination, I think that we have an opportunity with a permanent funding source through Visit San Luis Obispo County to actually partner more with them to do a lot more on their dime. And it's our dime, too, because we're funding them. I also think that the work that they do with Visit California and the relationship that they have with Chuck Davison on the board of Visit California is crucial to San Luis Obispo County and to Morro Bay, because we should leverage that relationship as far as we can. And taking that even further with the Central Coast Tourism Council and what's the other group? USA? Brand USA. Now, that's something I don't have a lot of information about, but Brand USA is sort of the next step from Visit California to Brand USA to the world. And those emerging markets of Brazil, China, Eastern Europe, I mean, these are where they're going for. So I have to say that we need to forge our relationship with them and work closely with Visit San Luis Obispo and with Visit California and Brand USA. So, good job.
I feel that the relationship or collaboration, as you put it, is, I feel like it's obvious, no-brainer, that the investment is wise, and regardless of performance, I think that it's a wise investment because of what they stated about a duplication of process and also the broader market that they're pitching at. And on that note, I think that allows us here to focus on what is Morro Bay, because that's our focus. You know, I want to see us focus on Morro Bay here, and by working with them, that allows them to bring a broader market to the county, and we're really focusing on what we're pitching for Morro Bay. So that allows us to more uniquely design our pitch, which is what I like about the marketing and PR company we talked about in your last question. I feel like that they really kind of get that. And I think the combination of those two is a good 1-2 punch. And there's a couple of things that I'm watching that wouldn't change my feeling about the partnership, but it does elicit feedback from me to them, which I'm not afraid of ever doing, as you know. And I was really disappointed with the moves with Savor the Central Coast. I'm a big fan of Savor the Central Coast from my point of view. I'm anxious to see where they go with it, though. I'm open-minded and supportive. I was really impressed with the film festival this year. I thought that was – I've always felt like that was huge, especially when we're looking at trying to dominate the Southern California market. I love film festivals, and I've seen them be huge. And I think this year's film festival was a huge success. With their support, I think, was part of that.
There's a great commercial out by Visit California, and it shows Morro Rock. Have you all seen it? Okay. So they're spending, California, the state of California, is spending a lot of money in commercials in California. I don't know if that commercial is going anywhere else, but it's in California to show Morro Rock. So the way this is supposed to work is in the county is supposed to go ahead and promote that brand of what they're showing for this county, i.e. Morro Rock. And then what we're supposed to be doing is piggybacking on that to drive the people that they drive to the county to Morro Bay. So if you're talking about following a brand, it's Morro Rock as it was started by the state. I don't know how much money we have sent to the county. I think Chuck Davidson is brilliant, frankly. He's a marketer. He's Expedia. He knows how to put heads in beds. And I think that we have not utilized our marketing people and our board members on there haven't utilized maybe what they have to offer. But that's just talk. We haven't set those goals. We haven't told our marketing firm, do this, you know, what's going on, let's get in. Let's not be after the fact. Let's find out what's going on in front. The county doesn't have any statistics in place so that we would know on their website what's coming to Morro Bay and then trickling from Morro Bay down to the hotels. Follow the statistics. It's not in place. So a duplication in effort could be good because then it rebrands something. Destination marketing is what our job is, and that's what we have to do. So I think we have a great marketing firm. I really don't know how this is going to work, actually, where in the hierarchy, we're going to see the marketing after the fact, right? When they put it together and they put it forward, then we see it. I don't know. I'm talking about our marketing firm. That's what this question was, right? But it's Visit Slow.
Visit Slow, yeah.
Then it's our destination.
Yeah, it'll be very similar. The tourism manager is going to be overseeing the marketing efforts and of what mental marketing will be putting together.
And then they'll make the decision, and then we'll see the statistics after the fact.
Correct. There will be continual reporting,
right,
as far as like from mental marketing.
Right.
As far as like the statistics, they do provide statistics of what they're doing and the results of what their marketing and outreach efforts are, and we could definitely share that. I know that they send that information out to all hotels currently on a monthly basis. So if you're not getting that, Jane, you know, we can definitely make sure to connect you with Visit Slow County, so you do get those reports.
And so the report that every hotel here is supposed to get shows what their hotel business, what has been referred to them?
It's more typically with the actual destination itself.
We don't care about the hotels. We care about the destination coming here. So if what was the last campaign, like the film festival, I agree, it was great campaign. And I also was disappointed with Savor only because it became an inconsistency. You know, if people, well, what happened to Savor? We heard about it all these years and now nothing. So there wasn't really anything in place, just a different emphasis with a whole different venue. So, you know, what's up for next year? Are they going to bring Savor back or?
No, they're actually going to do Savor on the road. So what their primary goal is going to be is to focus some of the resources to be able to go to other destinations and show off the county at other food and wine festivals. So they're basically taking Savor on the Road for this year. They want to see how it's going to impact and bring in visitors from outside of the area, which I think is very smart. And that for a destination such as Morro Bay, it is going to provide us an opportunity to be able to invest into those opportunities and to be able to make impact in feeder cities that we're trying to reach out to as well. So
with that said, what is Morro Bay doing? What's our part of our booth for them? Brochures?
They don't have a final plan as far as yet. Right now they are narrowing down their marketing agency. So they are in the process of actually reviewing two different, actually very large marketing agencies that focus in on destination marketing. Once that is actually all finalized, the agency will actually assist and they will align based off of the research that's actually happening with Merrill Research right now. They're also going through, as Aaron had pointed out, that they're working on a 3-year strategic plan. So they really want to have all of those stars aligned before they decide they're going to move forward with where they're what shows that they're planning on doing to bring Savor on the Road. So with Visit San Luis Obispo County, you know, being on the marketing committee, I think it's been the new structure is actually much more effective than what it was before. Not just because they have a new revenue structure coming in with the assessment, but I think it's a lot smarter. Marketing committee makes, you know, we review a lot of different things. We make recommendations to the board. The board reviews. They also have an executive committee. But they've also experienced some hiccups, too, with, you know, having a marketing agency that really wasn't quite performing where they needed to be. So they went out for RFP, you know. They are a little bit behind schedule, not because of what they're doing, but I think that they're really trying to be very smart and very strategic about how they're spending the resources. They want to assure that the dollars that are coming in are going to have the best return on investment. So this year is really kind of the build-up year, but next year you're really going to see where, you know, having them sit down with the different DMOs where the duplication isn't going to happen to really have that alignment. So they really need this year to be able to build that program so next year it's going to be a lot smoother. So this year it's really kind of that learning year. And I really give them a lot of credit for making sure that they are making thoughtful moves, very strategic moves that is going to impact the county as a whole.
Good. And with that input...
I have one other question. About that.
Okay, I just want to make sure my colleagues have the opportunity to ask you questions too.
But my question is, we have people on the county board. It was Val was our representative. Is it now you, Aaron, or Val still there? Okay, and you are?
I represent a different capacity.
Okay, so we have two entities on that board now, though.
Representing
two, yes, in Morro Bay.
Three.
Okay.
I represent.
So who will be the staff person that will be on the board when Brent leaves?
That would be the tourism manager.
If we don't have one right away, will you be doing it?
Yeah, I probably need to be there, yeah.
Thank you guys very much. Great answer.
Appreciate it.
Turn it over to
Noah. Sure, thank you. Thank you all for your hard work, and particularly you, Brent, for what I consider to be a strong professional performance and a lot of care and stabilization to the program and where we were when you came on and where we are now. You can see a clear advancement and a lot of progress. So I'm thankful for that, and I think we all are as we look at how we're utilizing the extra TOT and so forth. So I'm hoping for a team effort going forward, and you helping us in this transition is really, really important, and I think it says a lot about your character. So I'm expecting big things from you in some other part of California. So just to kind of pick up a little bit on John's last question and then Jane's comments and maybe expand that out a little more, because it does seem like we're transitioning here in Morro Bay. We have the TMD, the county TMD transitioning, and I'd just like to hear a little more comments and input about how we can make sure we've built in good check-ins and review and evaluation opportunities as we go through this process, both at the county level and then to here for our new board and structure for Morro Bay. And I think I'm seeing that, but I also would like to hear your ideas of and confirmation that you feel like we have that, or if you're identifying better opportunities as we get deeper into this, that you see a clear outlet to express that and that we can continue to improve this and make sure we don't drop the ball as we go forward. So I guess I'd like to hear a little more detail about what you're perceiving as to the next steps and how we're going to be able to check in. And I think part of what the process we've established here today and what we're laying out going forward is going to be a part of that. But to maybe take that also into what your involvement, how we can utilize your involvement to build on and use that to inform our decisions with infrastructure improvements within the city, with staff services, with how we're budgeting. So let's talk a little bit more about that. I know Dave talked about that a little bit in the introduction, but I think that's one of the biggest strengths of us coming together more closely on this, and let's just make sure we take advantage of that is my question. And do you feel like we're on course to do that? Kind of a sprawling question, but
a bit sprawling. So yeah. I'll sprinkle.
I've been weed whacking most of the day. So
sprinkle.
Maybe,
I see a little break bit here. Left in your, yeah. your pocket there.
He said a sprig. That's
yeah.
Okay. I would say firstly, what we're doing here today is absolutely phenomenal. Just coming together, sitting around a small, intimate table. It's not all the way across the room, and just throwing questions and ideas back and forth. So that's the first thing. I would like to see more of these sessions if possible, and I think it can lead to collaboration. I do have to realize that we sit here firmly wearing our T-bid hats, looking at heads in beds and marketing Morro Bay, where you wear many hats in regards to how a city has to operate. Tremendous responsibility. A lot of that falls on all of your shoulders. So for us to be a part of that process and to be asked the questions from you on what you're trying to do within the city, how tourism can complement and enhance that and move forward. Specifically, meetings. I don't know how else to say it other than that, just a lot of chatting and dialoguing. Now, we try to respect the Brown Act, we have to respect and abide by it in every way, so it does make it hard for us to converse with one another as math. We're not allowed, we're not allowed to do it, and I think this is probably the most productive way to do so. Sorry, can't be. I'll give you a sprawling answer for a sprawling question.
No, that's good. That's good.
Charlie.
I've got to agree that getting together more often, you know, it also gives us an opportunity to be more familiar with the process, to really go more in depth in what we're doing, and to really learn from you, because for me, I'm a new guy on the board and fairly new to the community, even though I've lived here for over 25 years. I'm fairly new to this, to the town. So getting to know you all, the council, and what your goals are and understanding those goals is going to be really important to us so that we can help hit those goals. For us, it's Morro Bay. What do we do for local, regional, and national and international marketing and public relations to bring tourism here? That's our goal. How that equates to working with the city, you know what? It all does, because the tourists are not just staying in our hotels. They're eating, they're buying, they're spending, they're fishing, they're doing lots of great activities here. So, again, I think that, you know, being new and going into this marketing plan and learning that plan and learning what your goals are and how our goals must, they got to work together. So, for me, it's exciting. But I do think that we need to get together more often and talk more often and be able to hash this stuff out. You know, once a month, I think, is just not enough. That's me.
Okay, I took the question differently. What I'm hearing is that you're asking like some nuts and bolts kind of question. And so I broke it down for you. When you're talking about checks and balances with the county relationship, which is what his question was, the county, I believe that you have the people that we're sending to be on that board, what Jane was talking about, those people have an influence, like the people on there and actively participating and then bringing that information back. I think that you also, what I've seen is that we also have a key avenue through our director or what's going to be our manager. That person's relationship with them is really key because it does much of what the board representatives are doing, but I also think that they manipulate in a way or cultivate in a way. And I think that it's very key to have that manager relationship be healthy and hospitable so that we glean as much information and marketing as possible from the Visit Slo relationship. On another note, one of the things I've seen in the past couple years and really in the last year being on TBID is that personal relationship with people in the industry. I wasn't aware of that, how important that plays into it. You have people who are in this industry of hospitality and tourism who've been in it for a long time, and even if they're not on TBID or they're not on the Visit Slo, they have an influence on how Visit Slo views Morro Bay. And I think that you need to remember that and cultivate that. So, you know, talking to those hoteliers or people in the industry who've been in it for a long time and have those personal relationships, that plays into it as well, and it's not part of what we control. So remember that. On the second part of what you were saying, how can we use this data locally? Okay, so how do we take that data and bring it back and make the best out of it, the best use of that data? So the way I'm seeing it is that basically how do we spend our money wisely with that data and that relationship? And I feel like there's more of a demand than there is supply. So we have a lot of stuff we want to do with our money, and we don't have enough money to do it all right now, obviously. So we need to keep the money from tourism coming in at the same rate that it's coming in, hopefully increasing it every year as it has been. And then focus that on projects. That's what you guys, that's your job, is to focus that money on projects that partner with that rate. So, like, you know, if we feel like we need to focus money on certain events or certain aspects, I did some examples. I thought the Amgen was a great focus because that's a broader thing. That's not just Slo County, it's also the whole state of California, and then that industry is the entire world. Good focus, good use of money and funds. The Cow Parade, I was a big fan of that. I think that that art and that international glory of that's a good focus. The Film Festival, I wish we would have had more of a link with Morro Bay and the Film Festival this year. I think that we could have benefited from that. I love the way that Brent has helped us reach out and work with more with Hearst Castle on Hearst Ranch. More of Hearst Castle, but there's two entities up there, and their pull internationally is huge. Let's begin with the Visit Slo. I've always been a big fan of linking more with the state parks. You know, there's a lot of state park stuff. When people come to Slo County, they look at what they can do in Oceano, they look at what they can do in Morro Bay, and that is a bigger thing that you're going to get through the Visit Slo. So I think that, you know, taking that data and then focusing it on projects that are wise investments during the time this year is the way we should do that. That makes sense?
Okay, the council set the goals for next year, 2016, 2017, correct? Okay, what's your goal for TOT increase? It's a question. Do you have the answer? Didn't you already set it?
Can somebody answer? Budget for it, which is 5%.
So you have a 5% increase on TOT from in 2016 to 2017.
And I would describe that not as a goal, but as a standard. So that's not what I hope anybody is shooting for or shooting for higher. But we've budgeted for 5% to make sure that we're we're conservative in our budgeting.
Okay, so my question is, we have consistently raised over 10% year on year for the last, I think it's 3 or 4 years. Why would you go down to 5%? What was the reasoning for that? I'm just curious.
Actually, we went up from 4% this year based on the city contribution to tourism marketing promotion. So it's really a function of reasonably conservative budgeting in order not to be surprised. And if we projected 10% and we only got 7%, and then at the end of the budget year we're looking around for $60,000 that we didn't.
Okay, but my question is, we have increased 10% for the last 4 years, year on year, with the same momentum and in the same operation that we've been doing. Why would you? What was your reasoning for decreasing it to 5%?
Hang on. So this year, because we've actually seen a little bit of a change because of weather and new product coming online, we've seen an 8% increase over last year on average. Now, Dave brought up in, was it last year when you talked about the 10-year budget forecast? I think a big part of that, too, is one of the reasons why we were being a little bit more conservative and only looking at an 8% increase for this next year is that there was an estimated recession in 2017. And so we, you know, just based off of some of the factors, because we are going to be start to see a lot more additional product come online in the county, that is going to impact overall revenue and occupancy for Morro Bay. So, I mean, just generally overall, we are being a little bit conservative even on the TBID aspect.
Okay, but the reasons for you being conservative are key issues in our marketing campaigns. Okay? If you're saying that there's going to be a recession, there's more product in the county that we have to fight against for with all the new stuff that's going in slow, weather, okay, there's 5%. So we also have some new units that are coming here, okay, that are going to vie for their position. And so there's that. So what was your goal for occupancy increase? And how does what you were doing for your 5% TOT, how does that equate to, are we going to spend more money in advertising or less? What I'm trying to get at is there's a lot of components that you have to think about when you think about recession and weather and new product. So we should be spending more money in marketing because we're going to be, you know, dealing with other stuff. And also, we need to keep our occupancy levels at least the same or trying to figure out how we do that. These are key issues that I don't think anybody's really looking at. And that's my concern, that goals have been set without looking at the whole picture. I would like to have specific accountability goals and consequences set so that I would like to know, you know, you guys came up with some stuff that we're advising you after the fact on how'd you come up with it, you know, and stuff like that. That's where I'm coming from.
So, Jane, those are all great comments, and I think, though, what I heard was a lot of you, and I think what we're trying to do is get more to a we discussion.
But we are after
you,
the fact.
I don't actually agree with that, and that's why I just wanted to address it really quick, is that the goals that are in your work plan are actually specifically unanimously adopted for recommendation by the TBID board. So what's in front of you is directly something that you all selected. It may be that what was adopted didn't align specifically with what you were hoping for, but the majority of the board agreed with those, and so that's what we're running with. That doesn't mean, however, that we can't continue to have these discussions at the TBID level and work to make additional recommendations to the City Council. These discussions are always evolving, just as, you know, we need to be rapidly working on our marketing efforts. The same thing can happen with TBID, and we've committed to continuing those conversations.
So I would like to see some accountability goals. And I don't know if we would set those at TBID. Is that what you're asking us to do?
You are the advisory body for the council, so they're going to rely on you to work with staff to come up with ideas and solutions, and you'll make those recommendations to them, and we'll all have a discussion about it. I think this conversation is a good one to have at an advisory board meeting.
Why? Well, okay, so that we can get and more then also what about probably. Consequences? We can put that in. So we can switch gears. If the accountability is not there or it doesn't meet what the goals are, then, you know, things can switch right away or not.
Brent, you want to?
Yeah, so just kind of taking a look at like the work plan and why we actually have some of the benchmarks to look at, it is an opportunity for that opportunity to be able to switch gears if need be. I want to really emphasize this in having the marketing background. Spending more money in marketing doesn't always constitute that you're going to get more business. It's about how you actually spend your resources and how you utilize your current resources that you have to be a little bit smart about doing that. And I think mental marketing is looking at historically on, you know, what we've done in the last couple of years and building on a plan that is addressing some of the historical issues that we've seen specific to September and November and January. We're a family destination. We see a drop when school's back in session or when we're getting into like holiday season. So they're addressing a lot of those things within the actual plan, the general overall plan. When you do look at the work plan, you know, and you look at how we actually had it assembled for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau, that's why we would do a mid-year budget review. That's why we would look at, you know, what is actually happening as far as revenue. Do we need to switch gears as far as like how we do the marketing? But at the same time, we're also building in the area of sales. And a lot of the DMOs don't really understand the whole sales part of it, but we need to capitalize on the groups that are coming in and the business that we can actually retain and maintain and attract here to Morro Bay. So that program is also going to build as well. That doesn't really require a lot of marketing dollars. It really requires a little bit more staff time in building those important relationships. Mental marketing, and Sam was actually involved in this meeting, and I thought it was very key what they talked about. They said everybody hurt when it started raining. When it came to the industry, the rain dropped the amount of business that was actually coming to the county. That was consistent throughout the whole county. If we're going to try to attract people to come here to Morro Bay when it's raining, what type of experience are they going to have when they come to Morro Bay? They can stay in your hotels, but then they go to the businesses, and the businesses are making a smart decision to say, I don't have a lot of people coming into my door. I'm going to close down early. So that actually has a greater and more longer-term impact. So it's really about trying to figure out what type of business has to come in during shoulder season as well as during the rainy season, because you can do promotions and you can spend and you can throw a lot of money out there in marketing, and that can be a short-term solution, but it's not a long-term solution, because if they're not having a positive experience while they're here in our destination, they're not going to come back.
Well, I agree. I think I used the wrong word with more marketing. I should have said more effective marketing. Okay, so the question is, how did we do and how can we do better? I think those are the questions we have to ask every single month. You know, what did we do? We need to see the images. What did we do? Does that work? Does that not? Again, we don't have the statistics or the accountability on that stuff. We need to put that into place.
Well, to close my questions, my takeaway is that we just have to really work hard to work on the communication lines and
commit to that and know that in a transition period there's going to be adjustments that need to take place and learning that's going to happen. So communication from with our liaison position is important. You have the opportunity through memos to the council, direct through staff, or directly to us as a council, and making sure that you're tapped into all the different elements that tourism has a part of. And probably most importantly is that you're feeling involved with the economic development strategic plan, and the work there is a good example of something to keep on your radar. And I know with Sam participating with you more, he's helping us lead that, and it's just a great opportunity to be at the table as an example. So I'll end my comments there and just hope that we can all work together, because we all win when the hotels are full, the city's doing well financially also. So it's an important thing to keep in mind.
Thanks, Noah. I was going to go up with a couple of comments before I turn it to Christine. First of all, when we started this, we discussed what the purpose of this was, and we were talking about our work programs, which were developed through the work at the TBID board. I just wanted to talk a little bit more overview on that, because we're doing something new this year that I'm really excited about, because we've done this with all our advisory boards, and maybe hopefully this will help, you know, kind of frame this a little bit. Obviously, we have city goals. We go through our city goals with, you know, outreach to the community, and all those are set as an we qualify them, we prioritize them, and how they're important for the community overall. For the tourism, for the TBID, I think the goal is having a TBID. So the city committed to forming a TBID with the buy-in from all the members of the hotels. So from that standpoint, our city goals will, you know, they fit into a really good segment with Public Works Advisory Board. We have infrastructure goals. It fits in really well. Planning Commission, you know, we have some planning goals there. All that fits pretty well. Our Finance Oversight Committee, all these things that are kind of dive in there. So I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of the specific goals for the Tourism Bureau really come from you. And when I was listening to what are our goals for TOT, and we said 5%. So I put that in two categories. One was budget and one was market. So from a city standpoint, we may budget 5% because we want to make sure we're in there. We have that good accountability. But from a market standpoint, absolutely, we say market-wise, we want 10%. So I can certainly see how the board would want to identify with that. But from a budget standpoint, you know, I think it's good to talk about and differentiate those things. So I guess that kind of frames some of my thought process on the work programs that we're talking about for you all. What's interesting is that, you know, we talked about accountability goals. I see this as we integrate what city goals we have, but the TBID is more unique than any advisory boards we have. And I think one of the questions we need to understand is this process going to work for this board? Because you need to adapt and move pretty quickly because you're in a marketplace. Our other advisory boards are more structured because of the city function, and I hope you understand that. So I think this is a good process. It's new for us and new for you as well. And so as I say us and you, basically we all have to get through that. You know, one of the things I wrote down was, you know, that's not necessarily on the goal, but, you know, maybe having a communication goal. You know, we talk about, you know, having more meetings. I think through all of this, so first of all, I guess I'd like to get back to some questions. These work programs, are they going to work for the TBID board? And as we talk about, and Jane, you talked about setting accountability goals. Seems like next meeting we should be talking about accountability goals and have this, you know, part of this framework. I don't see city council driving these goals to any certain degree. city goals may be a part of this, because we may see, as I think Noah pointed out in a really good way, we have a product to offer our visitors. And if it's a matter of a sidewalk or a harbor walk out there that is one of the experiences and part of our products, that's something that we want to enhance. And so that's part of the part that I think the city needs to be pretty strong through. So I've led through a lot of comments. I wanted to frame it a little bit for you all, but I want to understand that these work programs that we have are going to work for you. And I want to ensure that if there needs to be accountability goals, that those are set and you guys work through all those things. And I also wanted to identify the TOT goal, budget versus market. And I think it's really acceptable for us planning-wise to pick a number, and it may be a conservative one. That doesn't mean that we're conservative in our marketing goal and wanting to achieve higher standards. So I think that's a good discussion that might – you all might need to take from the standpoint of identifying those two. But maybe just have some responses from that conversation, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Absolutely. Yes, I do see the tremendous distinction between budgeting a 5% increase in what we plan to spend and, of course, shooting for much greater than that, but we don't want to spend money we haven't earned yet. And any budget increase should be modest year over year, while we're hoping to do a lot greater work than that. So, Mayor Irons, I completely agree with that. As far as the city interacting, Taylor made a phenomenal point. Amgen is a great example of TOT and tourism, mm-hmm. also complementing the city as a whole. We realize for Amgen to come in here, you have police, you have fire, you have emergency responders, you're going to have litter on the street, all these things. It is a consequence beyond just TOT, but it also has the potential to increase the heads and beds and tourism as a whole here. So I do see that there's a unity there amongst the community, all working for the greater good of it. And I don't know if now is a time to point this out. We have the four goals here that were established by us as a board, mm-hmm. and the first three are solid, firm goals about looking at our annual development financially, looking at our budget overview, and looking at our marketing and public relations. The fourth goal listed on here, China Ready. I don't want that to go under-noticed since mm-hmm. it is on the back page. Mm-hmm. That is tremendous potential. China estimated spent $2.2 billion in Chinese dollars coming to California in 2014. That is a tremendous amount of money, and there is a cultural gap between us and them, and they are looking to come to areas that embrace their culture, embrace their form of currency, and that's why we're here. So I just really wanted to point that out. As an example, as a hotel broker helping third parties buy and sell hotels, I've been working with quite a few Chinese investment firms that are now located here, a lot of them in Los Angeles, and they're interested in coastal real estate coming up this way. So you can see how the TOT goal of being China ready to get those heads in our beds can also translate to greater development goals, as Mr. Buckingham pointed out in our EDD meetings, was 2 weeks ago now, on these greater aspirations here for the town. And that can also kind of extrapolate out into possible joint ventures with small Chinese investment firms and so forth. We are a nation based on immigrants. And so seeing some of that money come here is a phenomenal opportunity for us. So the translation of tourism into overall EDD in town, I think, could really merge well together.
I want to say, looking over the work plan and, asking whether we feel like we're ready and we can do this, I wasn't part of the development of the work plan, but I'm proud of it. In particular, we set some pretty lofty goals and some pretty strict dates. We passed a few of those dates. We need to get on our work plan as a group, as a board, and work together to actualize these. But I see that these are really great goals, number four being one of the ones that we're all hot on. For me, it's not just China, but it's the other emerging markets that can come to Morro Bay as well. But I see working together and communicating working on our goals, which we will deliver to you, I think is that's our charge.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mayor Ernst, can I just interject the staff thought as we're going through this is that so the goals we're talking first, the goals are 10 broad community goals that have been in place for 6 years. And then the objectives underneath those are specific work plan objectives. Again, and fairly not broad, they're specific objectives, but they are not at all the sum total of everything the city is doing. So there's not a specific objective in our goals and objectives this year that says fill a certain amount of potholes and how quickly to do them. That's something that we do more routinely. If we have a challenge, if we're having problems in that, that's where we want to put it on the objectives and say we really want to focus on this and do better in something. So it may be, and this is a great process, as we go through this process, it may be that what are the specific tourism objectives for each year. I would think those actually might belong in the tourism, the annual plan, the annual work plan for tourism, and in the economic development strategic plan. We hope to have a tourism element, a five-year tourism element to that, because one of the crucial legs of economic development. So I think I'm not sure we would want to have targets in our city goals and objectives for various financial targets for one industry or another, but within the TBID annual work plan, within the city's annual work plan, referencing the TBID, that would make all the sense in the world. I mean, and you're the body to set those markers. So, I wanted to throw that out.
Thanks, Taylor.
Okay, so, Jamie, the TBID goal is to have a TBID. The TBID's unique, right? The city goal is to have a TBID. Okay, it's unique. So I agree with that. I think that I've seen that, and I think that the TBID is unique, and I think that it's unique in a way that it needs to work for the city of Morro Bay, the city staff of Morro Bay, and the city council of Morro Bay. And it needs to work for them, but at the same time working for our hoteliers who are in the bid. So it is a very unique entity. I like to look at it as if we're a contractor, even though we're not. That's the kind of, I have this performance thing I'm trying to give for myself. And so what I do to simplify it for myself, because time is elusive for me. I don't have the time to do everything that I could as a contractor. So what do? I break it down into how do I link our tourism to the objectives that the city has? So like, I want to figure out the best things we can do to benefit tourism. And how can those things we're doing to benefit tourism be objectives that the city also has? So, like, if we're going to have Amgen here, let's make sure that the areas that Amgen's going to be in are on point. If we're going to have Amgen here, let's make sure that we have a good volunteer outreach system. If we're going to have Amgen here, so if we're going to focus on these projects, let's make sure that it links them. So, like, if we're going to have Amgen here, let's make sure they go past these businesses. Let's make sure the businesses they go past aren't empty businesses and aren't, you know, dilapidated buildings. So that's kind of like my job is to see how the tourism can link to the city process for this question. And I feel like there's this. I'm gonna just go where I think this is supposed to go for me. I feel like there needs to be a link between the hotel business and the retail business. Okay, I think that's the solution in the future. And the city has so much control over how that link happens, and it's from lights and trees downtown, maybe, to potholes, to garbage cans that overflows on Saturdays, these things, you know what I mean? Like, how do those little things play into this link? And the China Ready thing, like, let's take that as an example. I work late, 6 days a week, down at my store, as my office at nighttime. I notice that at nighttime, a lot of our Chinese tourists walk around in the dark. And they are looking at the businesses after they're closed and observing what businesses they're going to go to the next day. And with my business, the Gorilla Gardening Club, what I know, one of the things I notice is that we have this we call it our sexy man picture. It's a big painting of a sexy man on the beach, and he's the water's washing over him, and he's got this big gorilla gardening tattoo on his shoulder. And it makes every single one of them stop and laugh every time. And I love that we're doing that, because that's more obey to me. We're this cool, modern place right on the beach, and that's what I'm pitching. So, and at the same time, I'm also thinking, like, man, maybe I should be open, or man, I wish there was more lights down here, or man, you know, there's these things that I'm seeing. And so, like, tourism shows us that, because tourism is our industry. We've all agreed, in a way, that tourism is our industry. So I feel like our job for you is to kind of guide that business and show you how these dollars should be spent.
I'm getting tired. My son's wedding is on Sunday. I'm tired. And I'm a mother-in-law. It's tough. That means I have to keep my mouth shut. This is the only time I can talk. So, okay. So, TOT contributes, what, 30% to the general fund? Yeah, it's about 30-32%. Okay. 26, that's contributed 27. By your RVs, your VRBOs, and your hotels. Okay? That is set by the city. That can go up and down by the city. That money in the general fund can be spent any way it wants to be per the city. Out of that TOT, which equates to how much money? I don't have the figures.
About $3 million this year.
$3 million. And out of the TOT funds, which goes into the general fund, the city gives approximately $60,000.
The city will be in the next fiscal year, correct.
Giving $60,000.
And then we'll be slowly ramping that up to $300,000 over a projected 5-year period.
Yeah, 5 years. But $60,000. Okay. That's the city's doing up, down, in, out, how it spends the money, and it comes from the tourism and all the overnight stays. Then there's TBID. TBID was formed with city sanction. It was a BID form, city sanction, in, I don't know, 2009?
Correct.
Okay. And under the act, that is a business. It's from business. It depends upon the businesses. The businesses are only the hotels. It pays the money. The hotels care about where that money is being spent. Okay, they care that they're the only ones spending the money. They want to see heads in beds. They want to see effective marketing. And believe it or not, I really think they want respect. And they want the city to say, hey, you know, you're doing a great job. How can we help you, which I think you're doing? How can we help you? You know, how can we work together? And I think in the past, there's been a lot of separation, and we're trying to make that come back, okay? The city can't make the other businesses contribute to a bid unless a bid is formed by them. The hoteliers could petition not to have a bid. And you know what? It might be more effective for them. I don't know. But the point is that you can't, and this is really to Taylor, you can't look at TOT being the same entity as the bid. So I care about tourism work plans for the bid. I care about all those heads and beds, how to combat recession, how to combat, you know, having the city not shut down and having empty stores, having our police department on task because all we need to have is one bad tourism happening, you know, something happen in a hotel by, you know, somebody who comes in, and that will be viral, okay? So, you know, there's a lot of things. We have to be edgy. We have to be in tune. You know, we have to be risky. We have to do those things because, frankly, we have to attract the millennials as much as we have to attract the nearly dead. I guess that's my category at this point. But we do have to do that. So, but there's a big dichotomy there. So it's a lot for our marketing firm. I really want a DOT in place as soon as possible. I know that we're out, and I think that that's going to take some time. And I also don't want to wait for things to happen. So I'm concerned. I'm not a huge fan of meetings. I have to run a business. I'm a small hotel. You know, we're an advisory board. Once a month works for me, and not a three-hour meeting, or if we can combine the meetings, that's it. So I think we could, you know, work through things, and the communication's open with Sam and us. That's a good thing. So I think you still have to talk, Christine, right?
Yep.
There's still four to five.
Jane, can I make a quick comment on DOT? So this has probably happened, but I'm hopeful that the whole TBID board and the rest of the hotelier community is using all of your contacts to get that job opportunity out across the world. We're doing everything we can, LinkedIn, Indeed, all those things, but you guys have networks. Please get that into your networks.
Christine?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Well, I have plenty of time to take notes. Brent's not here. He had to leave early, but I do want to commend him for his service to the city of Morro Bay. I think that I'm going to talk to him as if he's here. I think that he was really good at building relationships between the stakeholders. I feel like there's not a hotelier here in the city now that can say that they don't know what's going on. They may choose to not want to know, but he certainly reached out and has been pounding the pavement to get stakeholder input, and that's really his job. That was what he was here for, right, to serve stakeholders who were hoteliers, are hoteliers. So I think that he's really done a great job of that. His outreach has been fantastic. I mean, the e-blasts that we get regularly, I think I get them all, so I see, you know, the different groups he sends to. They've helped me immediately put things on my calendar, know what's going on, even events that that's this weekend. It has been fantastic, and I think you definitely want to, and I know some of you will go through the interview process for the new staff person to work with you, but I think those are bars that you want to keep very high, and I think there's good examples and that people can see what he was doing, because I think that's connected not just council, but the stakeholder community, but also, you know, obviously the visitors. So great job there, and certainly we'll miss his ability to do that. But he's leaving a legacy, and that's a good thing. I think that the reason we're here today is because goals are important to us, and the reason we have this transition period is because we set a goal last time around that said we wanted to investigate alternative models for working together. So this council takes goals very seriously, and we've brought in a city manager who takes them very seriously as well. So we're not going to willy-nilly be throwing darts at a dartboard any longer to try to figure out what our priorities are. There's a system, and if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to see what the schedule is for our strategic planning. It's set for, you know, every two-year cycle. We do this, we do that, and we're basing it on the election cycle, right? Because, you know, folks change every 2 years. So we're very clear that priorities will be, maybe shuffled around a little bit on a two-year cycle. We're budgeting now one more year, but we will be moving to a multi-year budget in the future, perhaps. So these are all things that are great for you to know as a TBID board. The other thing I want to point out to you is, if you haven't had a chance yet, on March 22nd, the city had a budget workshop. And I don't know if any of you watched it. It was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But it's online, the data. And if you go to March 22 budget study session, you can pull up the PowerPoint presentation. And I want you to do that. It's followed up with, it's management partners produced. And they are the ones that gave us last year a 10-year budget forecast, and they're updating it for us every year now. And there, I want to draw your attention to the slides about the TOT. We specifically, and basically what Management Partners, this consultant firm, does for us is they give us their best guess of the forecast. So, you know, they're experts in municipal finance, and we're wise to take their counsel and, of course, choose to follow it or not, but I think they're pretty well respected. So we talk specifically in the budget forecast, we talk about TOT, and then we also talk about pension costs, and then we do have a specific slide about the tourism contribution. So we're on record saying that this is a new day and we're going to continue to focus on tourism and put it under the umbrella of economic development because it's important to us. So that's specifically there, and you need to see our commitment because, you know, when you put things in your budget, that means you are committed to your priorities. So take a look at that, and it'll give you an idea of, you know, things like vehicle replacement, equipment replacement, things like this that I just want you to be aware of. And then a few more things. I really was happy to see in the mental marketing presentation, or their what would you call it? Their marketing plan for this year, they referenced the forecast because in their document, and I'm looking to see where it is, they talk about being ready, rain or shine, and they don't literally mean rain, although they could because they're so, you know, they're so creative. But they talked specifically about that projected budget, the projected recession in 2017. So they already incorporated the city's budget data into how they're going to market for the city, which I think is a brilliant connection. And that, for me, is such a good sign that this transition is going to work, and that's how it's already paying off. Yeah. That, you know, we're not arguing over whether or not there will be a recession or what the numbers are. I mean, this is, you know, respected authorities telling us this is a risk, and your marketing company, our marketing company, is adapting. So those are really important connections that I think we'll just see those, I think that will keep on occurring. Visit Slo County did a survey. They sent a survey out. Did you all get it? Council, did you get it too? Okay, I filled it out, and it's a great way to, if you've already done it, I won't say, but stakeholders should do it too. I think all hoteliers must have received it, but I wrote a lot of comments, and it was great for them. It's part of their economic development strategic plan, so I think the deadline, maybe they want you to get it done by Friday, but certainly that would help them plan, and I think increases our partnership. And I put who I was, so, you know, you don't have to do that, but I wanted them to know, you know, this is my opinion for Morro Bay. Did you too? Okay. Even not your name, just your title. So wanted to get those things out to share because this is a great time for us to share. Also, I think that what I'm hearing more and more in the community is, and it goes on every aspect, is that we want our community to look better. We want it to be more beautified. And people notice the things that we've done and the things where we haven't yet gotten there. We hear about it loud and clear. But I think really a message that works with everyone is if we improve our city for our residents, then why wouldn't our visitors also get to reap that benefit? So I think for tourism focused people, you know, a lot of the time some residents will say, well, why should I care about tourism? There are too many, you know, all these sorts of things. But I think truly, if you're helping to drive the beautification of the city, you know, so that residents or visitors have a good experience, well, that just means it's going to be all the better for residents. And I think that's another connection, that working closer together where you have a staff person that sits on the city staff that directly listens to you and directly works with you. There's no dotted line any longer. That's just going to make us work more closely together. And I think it'll help the community also feel like, well, okay, you know, I'll live with the tourists because, you know, I'm getting more garbage pickup or the bathrooms are cleaner. So I think those are connections that are real for all of us who live here. And then one last thing, and then also ask for you if you have any additional questions to ask us. This is a great time to ask us anything. Is there a component to China readiness for potentially the shoulder season, January and February, Lunar New Year celebrations? That's one. You know, that's an enormous time of year, and people always travel during those times in Asian cultures, and they celebrate a lot with seafood. And have we talked about seafood and Asian cultures, specifically China, and what we have to offer here? Because it is, honestly, they have this, in Singapore, they eat chili crab, okay? And it is fantastic, and we could adjust, perhaps, our local fish to the tastes of folks coming from China. And then our marketing could be like, this is similar to, you know, the things that you may know from home. But the seafood connection is enormous, and the Lunar New Year is just it's a big time for folks to travel, and they travel with their families. So if we get people to come up here during, and, you know, I think it's about a week, but you could, you know, tag on to it different ways, but it always happens in January and February when it wouldn't be bad for us to have visitors here. So it is perfect timing. And I read the information. I didn't see anybody talking about the culinary connection to China. And if anybody has it, we do, because we have the seafood. And as you know, Asian cultures eat far more fish than we do. And you know, and so do Brazilians. They're eating bacalhau all the time, right? I mean, I would say, remember the culinary part in terms of those other cultures. So maybe that's just me wanting to have chili crab here. Okay, and then anything else? I just wanted to share those thoughts as I was listening to everyone speaking. I don't have any questions per se, except I do have one. So when we're talking about goals, there's still action that's going to happen between now and May and June with TBID. Okay. So
yeah, and the most current one being that literally next week the Tourism Bureau will be moving into city facilities.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for sticking with the city through the transition. There's been a lot of transition. I think council has mentioned that before with the TMD was a transition time, and then, you know, shifting in-house, really working closer. We appreciate it, and thank you for volunteering.
So, Mayor, really quick, if I could respond to the China Ready thing really quick, because this program is kind of based on what we've learned, I think, from the staff level. Brent and I both went down to Santa Barbara some months ago to a China Ready presentation put on by Visit California. It was amazing, and it really spelled out how crucial that demographic is for us when they have 400 million people in their middle class, literally larger than the entire population of America. And they begin in group travel, and they're now starting to come as individual travelers, individuals still being mom, dad, children, and grandparents, because that's just their culture. What we've set up with the work plan is trying to kind of get a subcommittee together to develop a lot of the information related to becoming China ready, trying to put together informational workshops about kind of recognizing their culture, because what they want is an experience here, but they also want to be kind of recognized for their own culture. So lots of red colors. They're really used to red, different types of gifts and whatnot in their rooms related to those holidays that you just mentioned. So we're going to try to put together some of that. That also includes a resource guide for the business community so that we can kind of just give that out, and hopefully they can hit the ground running should they so choose, and we would encourage them to do so, with welcoming in those Chinese to Morro Bay. So.
Aaron, you guys...
Sam, that was one of my favorite points here under China Readiness is point 8, which is to create a shared resource guide for the business community by the end of April. So a year's time from now, that'll benefit restaurants, retail, other hoteliers, pretty much the entire community as a whole. And I do agree, we need to pool our resources to really attract them here. If the hoteliers just do some things, that's great. But we need the entire community to become a destination for them and their dollars, and hopefully they have a wonderful time and continue to come back as they do their layover from Los Angeles to San Francisco. We call it the triangle, LA, San Francisco, Yosemite. Tends to be what our lot of tourists do, and they're starting to find that out themselves. So I don't really have a particular question built into that, just a comment. Charlie?
On the China readiness, I think that it would be ideal to collaborate with Visit San Luis Obispo County. The Central Coast Tourism Council is also developing their own China readiness. And, of course, you're already working with Visit California. But they're, again, not to have to recreate, let's use their strength and their data that they're already getting, work with them to help develop our plan, too. But we're seeing it at the hotel already, and it's families, and you're right. It's the entire family. The difficulty that we're having is that they make a reservation for two people and show up with eight. That is the hardest thing, honestly, to deal with. And it's how they're booking, and it's continuous. So the education has to go both ways so that you can't book a queen room and put seven or eight people in it. And so it has been a constant challenge. In so much as that they're also booking online and click, click, click. So, again, the education, in my opinion, has to go both ways and be very, and we have to be gentle in how we educate them as well. One thing I do want to note is that we have almost a full house tomorrow at our stakeholders meeting. I've heard in the past that there's been a few people show up. They've done them in the mornings when everyone's working, when they're doing their checkouts. So tomorrow, having it in the afternoon, we already have over 65 people signed up. So that's a really great thing. The Visit San Luis Obispo County is also holding their stakeholder meeting on May 6th from 1 to 5. It starts at noon at the Fremont. So I'd just like to mention that. It's going to be Carolyn Beteta, who is runs Visit California. She will be there. There's a number of other speakers, you know, to note that will be there as well. So I think that it would be wise for any of you all that can attend. It's going to be a really interesting and educational afternoon, May 6th, at the Fremont. So thank you.
Okay, Christine. I think that it would be great if residents and tourists wanted the same Morro Bay. Is that true? I don't know. I think that in certain areas it's true. I think that residents and tourists would like the same style of downtown, maybe, or the same style of Embarcadero. But do they want the city to be the same? I don't think so necessarily. But I think that if you focus on certain areas, that you will get that agreement. And I think that that's key. I've always thought the downtown should be our focus and not just the downtown, but also the, you know, I love the way that there's the downtown area of Morro Bay, but there's also the city heart of Morro Bay where we have our city hall and the fire department. I mean, that whole area that, you know, that's the heart of Morro Bay too. That's just important. And I think that it's important that we develop that. And I think that we've struggled. Diversity. Okay, so when I try to simplify everything that you're talking about, because I don't have the time to learn all the holidays and gifts, and I don't. But what I do know is that what we are, why are they here? Well, they're here for a reason, and it might not necessarily be the gifts, but they're here for a reason. And I think that marketing our uniqueness, our diversity, you know, the different seafood options, you know, I think, bless you, I think it'd be great if, you know, whatever you're talking about was offered at some restaurant. I hope a restaurant might be interested in doing that. But education would be how that would happen. But marketing the diversity that is Morro Bay, that we have we have such talent here. I mean, I've always felt like the best of Slo County is in Morro Bay. I really do. And that's how we got Sam, right? So China tourism in the off season, brilliant, good idea, good point. The tourism thing for me, like as soon as I came into the T-bid, what I'm seeing is nail it in the big season and then hold it through the off season. And then if you have a year-round tourism season, which we should if climate change keeps on going the direction it is, I mean, hello, it's gorgeous all the time. We could use a little more water, but if you give us recycled water, that would happen. Okay, number two, the last one, how change will work for Morro Bay tourism. I didn't really get your last questions about the operations kind of thing, but I really feel that I feel like Sam is so accessible. I'm bewildered how he has the time to be so accessible. Like, it's astonishing, and maybe it's because of your age, maybe it's because of the style of how you work, but I think that, you know, invest in smart staff, you know, that work for us, and I think that's what you're doing, and keep doing it, and I hope that the next council does the same, you know what I mean? I mean, that's my greatest fear is that all of a sudden we flip back and I got to put a different hat on again, because I can do that, but it doesn't work so great. Okay, that's it.
I think that a lot of information can be gotten to the restaurants and retailers, and I think if you utilize your Chamber of Commerce for education, that would be great for them because it would give them a purpose to get more members, and it would educate their members, and then the Chamber of Commerce could be working more with tourism bureau, you know, the tourism, and so that they could be working together. So I think that the education is fantastic. The China readiness is interesting to me only because, I don't know if any of you watch 60 Minutes. I do. And the thing that was interesting about the last 60 Minutes was that China is so enamored with the United States that they're building their cities to mimic United States cities, and the government is squelching them. So part of me says, I don't think they really want to come here to get Chinesed. They already are. They want to have groovy T-shirts or learn how to, you know, surf and look like that guy with the tattoo, and they'll probably get gorilla tattoos. So, I mean, that's the way it is. And seriously, Charlie's right. They book for two and show up with 20. And, you know, and I send them all to Charlie because I turn them away, don't charge them a fee, and say, Charlie will take you. Because, and that's a problem, because that goes back. And China readiness is also understanding the culture and how to communicate and how to make people happy. And that's in every culture. We have a no smoking ordinance. Tell that to the Chinese, okay? No, I'm serious. You went ahead and you approved that. And how does that affect your tourists? When somebody can walk up to them and say, put down that cigarette. Okay, so there's cause and effect with everything. And, you know, I just really would like you to utilize the Chamber of Commerce, especially with education components. Let them go and talk about, you know, having Red Crab. I think it's, frankly, pretty great. And if not for them, for the people here, so that we go ahead and we celebrate the Lunar New Year with something other than some of the people that are walking our streets. So I agree that the city beautification has to be for the people that live here. Getting rid of the graffiti, getting our streets paved, having more lights at night are now necessary. Okay, that protects the people that live here. When you make the people here happy, they'll be happy about everything. So I really applaud you on doing that for the city.
Well, thank you for your feedback. And one thing, I do have a question. I'm going to throw it out because we haven't asked it yet. Events. I'd love to hear your perspective on how events tie into TOT and what events, how many are too many, and what can the city do? What do you see as a better connection between events and our entire calendar and how we operate them? And should we have, you know, 5 signature events? You know, we've settled on some that are signature events for residents. But what about other events, and what's your, just briefly, I'd love to see you talk about that and for us to nail that this year at least, or get there.
That's a bigger question than you realize.
Okay. Well, then you can put it on a future agenda, right?
We can put it on a future agenda.
Yeah.
It really is something to...
But perhaps on this board's work plan... should be a discussion through the year of not just what events and when, but synchronizing events in the city. So it looks like we're going to end up having Catch Fest, Maritime Heritage Month, something cool between the two, in October that links together Harbor Fest and the San Salvador coming and surfboard out and all those art and all those things. And I think there's what's going through my mind when Christine was just talking is this board would be a great board to help lead that synchronization effort.
Absolutely, and the dates are critical, and that's one of the things that a lot of people, we get proposals for an event in mid-July, and it's phenomenal. It sounds like a lot of fun, but frankly, it's not in this board's best interest to promote that event then because our beds are going to be full anyways. We'll be at our top rev par. So the date structure is a highly critical thing. Additionally, being very specific about the hat we are wearing is we are not an event incubator. We don't really have the funds to foster large events and the growth and the negative cash flow that they can bring about for a few years until they really grow. Do I think that would benefit the city tremendously to set up some sort of a program? Yes, but it's specifically not in this board's structure to do so. But I think it's a conversation we should have. Absolutely. People love the events. And we're currently, our average days, nights here are 1.5 for a guest. But if we can have a multiple day event, we can get two and a half nights average stay out of a guest, and a stayover is a tremendous opportunity to decrease your operating expenses at your property. So I love events, and that's why I'm saying it's a huge question. I'd love us to delve in more and put it on an actual action item.
Ditto. I love events. I don't want to put on events. I want to help promote events, and when nonprofits come to us with an event that makes sense, that's in our charge and in the shoulder season, that could help the community or help our hotels, I think it's an ideal opportunity for us to get behind them and help them promote. Putting it on a calendar and getting it where we understand what those events are, I think that it's really, that is really a great thing to do. A lot of that, I think that we need to collaborate again with the chamber. And we have a great new leader at the chamber who can help us do that.
So. I guess my word again was this board synchronizing those things to get exactly that, so we get the right events into the city at the right time, and you're the ones to really help us do that. Instead of, sure, you wanted that. I mean, we should be in the process of, instead of when somebody suggests yoga at the Rock in July, mm-hmm. encourage them toward yoga at the Rock during Health and Whole Foods Month in Morrow Bay, which is in April,
right.
but to start to move that direction.
And I would even add to that synchronizing those events with county tourism is very important.
Absolutely.
You can find some just dumb moments where there's multiple events in multiple towns that were competing for the dollars, where if we had just shifted an event one weekend, one way or the other, everybody would benefit greater. So that kind of goes back to the initial thesis of using the county as a hub for our tourism and coordination events.
Okay, so your events question. I think that there's two key things that we need to look at. One, I think you have kind of have an opportunity with where we're going with our director, which is the manager position. Events need a coordinator or somebody along the line who understands the event business and at the same time understands the location of the events, which is like the parameters of the destination. Like, we don't need a lot of events in the intense season. We need more events in the off season. But that coordinator position is so key. I think people oftentimes undervalue the efficiency and the smoothness of an event and how that turns into the event being successful over time. When you hire a manager for this position, if we want to do events, make sure they know about events. That makes a lot of sense. It's an opportunity. Turn it into an opportunity. Okay, number two, and this is the key one that I've seen in the event business, because I am in the event business. Having a venue. I feel like Morro Bay has three venues. I feel like you have the Rock, which is the beach area. I feel like you have the Embarcadero, which is where we always have our events, which is not my favorite place for marketing, although it's a great place to get drunk, which is part of events. Events sell alcohol, most events, so just be the reality. The third place, which I felt like was a huge win when they did it, was where the Oyster Festival was down at the State Park. I mean, it was gorgeous. It won every single thing won. The problem was is that there was too many pieces to make it efficient, and it fell apart, and we lost it. But I think that you need to look at that, like, how do you make a successful venue? Okay, if we have three venues in town, how can each of those venues, how can we figure out the problems with each of those spots and make it so that we could have a repeat model for each of those spots? And if you could figure out, okay, what's the problem with having events at Rocks? Let's get rid of those problems and make it so we could do this style event at the Rock, the same thing every time. So if you want to have a yoga thing there, this is how you do an event at the Rock. If you want to do a kite festival at the Rock, this is how you do an event at the Rock. And you figure it out for your venues. If you could figure those two things out, events would be successful.
I should have taken my vitamins before I sat next to you. I swear to God, I like half of your energy. I so admire you. I really do. the Chamber of Commerce years ago, when Peter Candela was here, used to handle all events. They used to calendar them way in advance. And they used to rally around and get all the volunteers and put all the components in place, and they were all quite successful. Took a lot of work, but they were all successful. We have no calendaring process. In TBID, most of the hotels, when we look at our business, at least in any business model, you want to get repeat business. That's what you strive for. That's your bread and butter. You know, locals for the local businesses, repeat business for the hotels. Events can do that so that you know if an event is going to be every year, you'll probably sell X amount, and people look forward to that. And that means consistency, okay? I don't see calendaring going on in the forwards. All of a sudden, boom, there's an event being planned, okay? Or three things happening on one weekend. Somebody at the city level who gets these permits needs to talk to I've been saying this for years, to a subcommittee that's comprised of a chamber member, maybe somebody from TBID, city advisory boards, and they calendar out the year. At TBID, a few years ago, I sat down with a subcommittee, and what we did is every month we did a theme for months, and we directed marketing and our hotels to promote with that. This is April going into May. We're looking at November and December, correct? So we need, I don't really care about the events. I'm looking at next year already. A little too late for events to pop up right now. And I'm trying to hone in on that and get all those marketed. So the city needs to identify how they want to handle events in order for those to be consistent and effective. And once you do that, then you can figure out, you know, which events you want to slot into which areas. And as TBID, we would give you our thoughts about it, as would all the other agencies that you work with. Did I answer that?
Yes, very completely. Thanks. Thank you. I'm glad we had that discussion.
Great, thanks. And I think we got through all the questions. I'm sure we could continue the conversations with that, unless there's some closing remarks from anyone. John, yeah?
You know, this whole process that we're going through now, this transition, really has been a policy kind of an issue that the council has been thinking about for a long time because of what I think a number of you expressed as very disparate entities doing many different things and no alignment between a lot of those disparate entities. And this was one of the larger steps to bring the city possibly closer to that which has a huge effect on the bottom line of the city, which allows us to continue to run, and that's TOT. And so I just want to say that the power is really within your hands. You manage $700,000-$800,000 a year that is collected by you, that you put into a plan, and you've hired a very powerful marketing company now and promotions company that Jane talked about metrics. I think they're extremely important that you develop metrics for measuring and monitoring. And I'm so glad to see Tomorrow Full. You know, last year was just unfortunate, but this year, you know, the slate is full. It'll be a great stakeholders meeting. For those of you out there that may want to come, 12 to 2, And you'll learn all about what's going on with regard to this wonderful TBID that we have. So thank you for your work.
Now, so you want to tell them where it is?
Yeah, it's going to be right here in the Vets Hall, 12 to 2. Am I correct?
No. The Inn at Morrow Bay.
The Inn at Morrow Bay. I'm sorry.
Cayucas.
At the Cayucas Room at the Inn at Morrow Bay. Yeah, that's my next meeting's over at City Hall. I'm sorry. Let me repeat that. 12 to 2 tomorrow, Cayucas Room, Inn at Morrow Bay. Jam-packed, 2 hours worth of great information. So come. And education.
You okay? All right, good. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting. All right, good. We'll adjourn this meeting, and then we're going to adjourn the TBID joint meeting, and then we're going to move on to another meeting after we adjourn. So we'll take a little recess, and then we'll announce the next phase of this. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. See ya.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Hey. Yeah, good luck, mother-in-law.
They
good
never leave home.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So as we just shuffle into the next gear, we're moving on to the next phase of our special meeting. So we do have a quorum. Our quorum still exists. We have absent is Councilmember Makowetsky. We are going to be calling to order a personnel board meeting. And with that, we'll look to Ms. Slayton to lead us off in the presentation and discussion.
Good afternoon, Chairman Irons and board members. At times, the city holds personnel appeal hearings and needs to issue subpoenas to compel witness attendance and presentation of evidence at those meetings. The Municipal Code, Section 2.32.030, states the personnel board has the right to subpoena. This means the city must properly notice and hold a public meeting every time we need to issue a subpoena. Staff feels that it's more expeditious to delegate this authority to the hearing officer. Adopting resolution PB0116 formalizes the procedures for issuing subpoenas and delegates the authority to the hearing officer to issue subpoenas. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Might be helpful we just talk about the personnel board part of this meeting. So this is a special meeting, and we are the personnel board. Can you help us describe that, just so the audience is understanding what we're doing? Thank you.
Yeah, you're actually – I'm not sure that's on. You're actually no longer the city council. You recessed your city council meeting, and you're now sitting as the personnel board.
Right, thank you.
Because the municipal code sets up, in its personnel provisions, it says that the city council will act as the personnel board, and there are certain things that the personnel board does. For example, if someone has a grievance, an employee has a grievance, or an employee is disciplined, and they go through the appeal process, you ultimately are the decision maker on those appeals as the personnel board. Sort of the same ideas. Planning Commission hearing something, then you get an appeal from the Planning Commission. Well, you as a personnel board hear personnel matters.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thanks for the description. I hope it helps the viewing audience as well. So with that, we have a resolution, and I'm looking at the audience. We do open up for public comment, so technically I can open for public comment. We don't have anybody in attendance, so we'll go through that process. I'll close public comment and bring it back to council for questions. And bring it back to the personnel board for questions. And basically the overall view of this, I guess I'm going into a little bit more explanation. Not sure there's too many questions for this. This is a procedural thing where we want to adopt this resolution so we can take appropriate action in the future.
It's actually putting consistency, too, between your personnel rules and the municipal code, because the personnel rules actually say the hearing officer can issue subpoenas as authorized by law. But because the municipal code says it's the personnel board that can issue subpoenas, we wanted to make those consistent. And because of the reasons that Ms. Slayton said, it's easier to process if the subpoena is just going through one person rather than having to come to the board at a public meeting.
Great. Okay, we'll start off with questions to my right. Noah, do you want to start us off on the end? Questions? None? John?
No questions.
Okay, anybody else? None. With that, any discussion or motion?
I would make a motion to approve or adopt resolution number PB01-16 as stated.
I'd second that. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. And that concludes our personnel meeting. We're going to adjourn the personnel meeting, personnel board meeting, and we are going to reconvene to our closed session meeting at City Hall located at 595 Harbor Street. And the titles for that closed session meeting is closed session item number one is Government Code Section 54956.8. It's conference with real property negotiator. The property is a lease site 89 and 89W, which is the boatyard. The property negotiators are Cliff Branch, trustee of the Branch Family Trust, and Eric Endersby, Dave Buckingham, and Joe Pononi as city employees. And then we also have another one, which is lease site 144 and 144W, which is Morro Bay Oyster Company. Property negotiators, Neil Maloney. Agency negotiators, Eric Endersby, Joseph Pononi. And the next one on the item for discussion would be the property is lease site 113W, and that is Morro Landing. Property negotiators, Rob Fowler. Agency negotiators, Eric Endersby and Joseph Pononi. And then finally, property 2783 Coral Avenue. Property negotiators, IVDC, Valley Affordable Builders. Agency negotiators, Dave Buckingham and Joseph Pononi. And those are the items for closed session. We will reconvene to 595 Harbor Street at City Hall, and we'll open up public comment there. Is that correct? We'll open up. Okay, so actually we're starting the public comment here, looking out in the audience and seeing none as far as public comment. And then at this point we'll reconvene to City Hall. Thank you.